Welcome to the May 20th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and talk about the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. On Thursday, Bitcoin had that flash crash. Someone dumped $35 million of Bitcoin at once on Bitstamp, causing the price to go down to $6,200 on Bitstamp. In the rest of the world, the price of Bitcoin remained around $7,000. But the thing is, Bitcoin's price on BitMEX is derived a lot from Bitstamp. So the price on BitMEX crashed, and BitMEX is the biggest crypto derivatives exchange in the world. So Bitstamp's price going down to $6,200 caused the price on BitMEX to go down a lot too. And that caused a lot of long orders to get liquidated. That's called a long squeeze. And that caused the market to crash even more. So before this flash crash, before the single order of $35 million was sold at once, Bitcoin was around $7,800 or so, $7,900. And then after it, it was around $7,300. And then on Friday, Bitcoin went as low as $7,000, even at one point, $6,800. And then late on Saturday, Bitcoin began to rise rapidly. It was Saturday evening, just after the sunset in the eastern United States. Bitcoin rose from around $7,300 all the way up to $8,000 by around midnight. And then on Sunday, Bitcoin went even higher than that. It went back to the 2019 high around $8,300. And I was watching it when this happened. There was a big sell wall at $8,300. And the price of Bitcoin rammed right into that wall, took out the sell orders, and the wall disappeared, but Bitcoin retreated. So the sell wall was enough to stop Bitcoin's momentum. It touched the sell wall, it got rid of the sell orders, but it wasn't enough to actually go through and rally even more. It almost did. And since then, Bitcoin has retreated down to where it is now, around 7,750 as I speak. Earlier, it was even lower. It was at $7,600 around 8 or 9 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. But right now, Bitcoin's at 7,750, trying to go back towards $7,800. It's a lot higher than it was on Friday and most of Saturday before it rallied again, though. So the crypto market has recovered from that flash crash and that long squeeze, at least. So that's the good news. Right now, the Bitcoin market cap is actually $138 billion, so that's a lot higher than it was during that bear market low. It was way below $100 billion. And so now looking at the altcoin market, things are in the red this morning because over the past 24 hours, Bitcoin has declined from around $8,000 to where it is now less than $7,800. So the altcoins typically follow Bitcoin. That being said, on late Saturday evening into Sunday, the altcoin markets did rally a lot. So these losses we're seeing today are not that much compared to how much they gained Saturday evening and Sunday. So right now, Ethereum is down 3.2%. That being said, it's still at $247. Remember, Ethereum was at like $90, maybe even as low as like $85 during the bear market low. So it's way higher than that. Ripple is down 3.2%, trading near 39 cents. Bitcoin Cash is down 2.5%, trading near $400. Bitcoin Cash was below $100 at one point during that war between Bitcoin SV and Bitcoin Cash when Bitcoin SV first forked and formed. EOS is down 1.9%, but it's at $6.17. That's a lot higher than EOS was during the bear market low. It was down around $3 at one point. Litecoin is down 3.2%, but it's at $90. During the bear market low, it was actually near $24. Binance Coin is down 1.5%, but it's actually close to its all-time high. So it hit its all-time high yesterday. It was around $29, and right now it's $28.60. So Binance Coin has been doing particularly well. It's rising up those ranks on coin market cap. It might actually eventually, but not yet, approach the market cap of Litecoin, because Litecoin's at a $5.5 billion market cap, and Binance Coin's at $4 billion. Binance Coin has been growing so much, though, it could actually go higher in the list on coin market cap, and right now it is near its all-time high ever, even higher than it was in late 2017, early 2018. Stellar is down 4.2%. Cardano is down 3.6%. Tron is down 3.4%. Monero and Dash are the only cryptos in the green this morning, and they're doing really well the past few days. So Monero's up 0.4% near $87, and Dash is up 7.1%. It's near $164. So Dash in particular is doing the best out of the whole crypto market, and it's gone up a lot the past several days. $164 per Dash right now. There was a time where it was less than $100 not that long ago. And Monero and Dash are probably the number one anonymity coin. So Monero's the number one stealth cryptocurrency. Like, literally, if you send Monero, you can't really see the amounts that were sent or where it came from, where it's going, stuff like that. So Monero is what people use when they want their money to be really, really anonymous. Bitcoin already has some anonymity to it, but Monero is truly stealth. Dash is the number one masternode cryptocurrency. So masternode's an ecosystem unto itself. Basically, people will create a masternode and they earn money from that. It's like the economy of Dash. And Dash is the number one of the masternode category. And then the masternode actually mixes the coin. So the point of the masternode is someone sends a Dash transaction and then it gets mixed like a ton of times. So it's like really hard to trace where it came from, where it's going, what amount it is. So that makes it highly anonymous. So Dash and Monero are anonymity coins and they're doing particularly well today. IOTA's down 4.3%, but it's still trading near 40 cents. So IOTA's the number one Internet of Things cryptocurrency and it's up a lot. Like, the losses we see today are only a dent in its gains. Bitcoin SV is down 4%, near $61. Bitcoin SV has not really rallied like the rest of the crypto market. It's actually flat on the week, so even with the losses today, most of the cryptos are up a good amount on the week. Bitcoin SV is flat, and that's generally how Bitcoin SV has been doing ever since it got delisted from Binance and Kraken. It's been doing worse than the rest of the market. It's still there at number 15 on CoinMarketCap, just hanging above a $1 billion market cap. But yeah, it's down 4% today and flat on the week. Tezos is down almost 5%, near $1.65. It was having a nice rally this week, though, and it's up a lot on the week. Tezos has become the number one proof-of-stake coin just because Binance and Coinbase. Coinbase definitely started their staking service for it. Binance will launch it soon. But yeah, that makes Tezos popular for proof-of-stake because when you're running a proof-of-stake coin, it's actually kind of hard to set up a full node and then connect to a staking pool. It's a lot of work, so it's easier if you could just like hold the coin on an exchange like Binance or Coinbase and then just stake it. That makes it a lot easier, so people are buying up Tezos because it's the easiest one to stake because they could just do it on Coinbase. Cosmos is down 7%, so Cosmos has been kind of like pumping and dumping. In the past week, it's up a lot, but it went down a lot the week before that. And Cosmos is kind of like the new kid on the block. It appeared there suddenly in CoinMarketCap, and it pumped a lot because suddenly it was there in the top 20 out of nowhere because they started listing its market cap. It's like a new coin. And so it pumped, and then it dumped, and then it's gone up a lot in the past week. But right now, today, it's down 7%, kind of dumping again. And then Dogecoin is down 3.7%. It's near 0.3 cents, $360 million market cap. That's certainly a lot better than it was during the bear market low. Currently, the total crypto market cap is $243 billion. The bear market low was $100 billion for the total crypto market cap. We're literally 143% above that bear market low. That's a pretty tremendous recovery. It certainly seems like the bottom occurred in December when the total crypto market cap was $100 billion and Bitcoin was $3,100. Is the bear market over? I'm not ready to declare that until we see another CME Bitcoin futures expiration. The CME Bitcoin futures expiration is often the pivot point from the market. It has been a lot in 2018. Like, right when the expiration happens, the market might go from bullish to bearish or bearish to bullish. So if we see the expiration come and go and the market remains bullish, then I'd probably declare this bear market is over. And the next CME Bitcoin futures expiration for the month of May is on May 31st. So we got about 11 days to go until that expiration, and that's going to be a crucial, pivotal moment for the crypto space. It'll take about a week after that to confirm the trend for the month of June, though. Moving on to the first interesting story of the day. So BitMEX has an insurance fund just like Binance. So remember, Binance recently got hacked. It's one of the top crypto spot exchanges in the world, and they got hacked to 7,000 Bitcoins, which is like $40 million. But Binance had the SAFU SAFU fund, and basically they take 10% of the trading fees and they accumulate it into an insurance fund in case there's a hack or some other issue. And so Binance was totally safe, and they're reopened, deposits withdrawals are open, trading has been live the whole time anyways. And so yeah, Binance did not die or anything, and no one lost any money on Binance besides Binance themselves, and even they just lost money from their insurance fund. So insurance funds are a really good thing for crypto exchanges, and now the data has come out that BitMEX actually has $200 million in their insurance fund. So BitMEX is the number one crypto-related exchange in the world. It's actually derivatives low, so they trade derivatives contracts, and they margin trade, and they leverage trade. So it's not quite spot crypto. They're not trading actual Bitcoins, technically. There is Bitcoins associated with it, but not every trade's backed completely by Bitcoins. It's the derivatives exchange. But that being said, they take some of their trading fees as well, and they put into this insurance fund. Now they have $200 million of Bitcoin, and that's 26,388 Bitcoins, and that's actually 0.15% of all the Bitcoins in circulation. So BitMEX has some tremendous insurance over there, and it's probably the highest Bitcoin insurance fund in the world. Moving on to the next story of the day. So Kick is a messaging app, and they raised $100 million in their initial coin offering ICO for the KIN token. It's a very low value token because there's a lot in circulation. But the SEC has come after Kick because they raised $100 million in an ICO, and the SEC has basically stated that ICOs are illegal in the United States, and thus they are approved by the SEC, but then the SEC has not approved any ICOs at all. So technically, any ICO that you see that's offered in the United States at any point in the past year and currently is illegal according to the SEC. So the SEC is coming after Kick, and apparently Kick has spent $5 million already on legal fees, and the case is not even close to over. Instead of doing a settlement with the SEC, which is what most crypto companies have done, they are fighting the case, and they're going to court with it, basically. And so, yeah, they're trying to fight this, and they're saying that, basically, cryptocurrencies are not securities. So this could either go two ways. Either they lose big, and the SEC goes against them aggressively and wins, and gets a much bigger fine than they would if they would have settled. Or it could be a landmark case where we finally see that cryptocurrencies are not securities. And I don't think that's going to happen because the SEC really has their things in the crypto space, especially in the altcoins. Like, they are trying to control the ICO space. And I doubt Kick is going to be able to overturn the SEC's entire efforts here. It's possible, I guess, though. So that's the optimistic way of looking at this. But yeah, Kick is saying that cryptocurrencies are not securities, that they are currencies. I would agree with that. It is a little gray, though, because basically in an ICO, people are selling a crypto token. And it's basically kind of the same way how companies sell stock. And that's where the securities comes in. It's kind of like a stock, something like that, when they're selling a crypto token, raising a bunch of money for it, and then people are using it as an investment. So I could see the SEC's argument here. But Kick is trying to overturn the whole paradigm and say they're currencies. I don't think that's going to work, but it'll be interesting to watch this case. It's going to be a landmark case either way, because I don't think anyone's actually battled the SEC all the way through the court process. So whatever the court decides here in this case will pretty much be what it's going to be going forward. And like I said, pretty much either nothing's going to change and ICOs are still securities, or suddenly, all the ICOs won't be securities, and that would cause an ICO boom. There's a very small chance of that latter scenario, but it will be very interesting to watch the case. Moving on to the next story. In more security news, Kraken, which is a major cryptocurrency exchange that's based in Canada. It's popular in the United States and across the world, but it is based in Canada. So the Canadian Security Administration and the Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada are saying that the contract between an exchange and an exchange user is a security. So that's kind of like vague there. They're saying the contract between an exchange and an exchange user is a security. And then they would be able to subject cryptocurrency exchanges like Kraken to all of the security laws. And just some backstory here. So Quadriga CX was like the biggest crypto exchange in Canada at one point, and then it totally collapsed. Mt. Gox still, maybe even worse. At least Mt. Gox is having a rehabilitation process, and everyone's kind of like there and discussing things. Even Mark Karpeles went through court, and yeah, so he didn't like disappear. So the CEO, founder of Quadriga CX, that big Canadian exchange, disappeared completely and supposedly died. There is some speculation that maybe he didn't, maybe he ran away because they were in massive debt. Well, anyway, so Canadian regulators are highly against cryptocurrency exchanges after the Quadriga CX incident. And Kraken's a really good exchange in Canada, though, but they seem to be coming after it now. Like, they don't even want crypto exchanges there. So Kraken is saying, hey, crypto assets are the securities, and they should continue to differentiate between crypto assets that are securities and crypto assets that are forms of payment, and also not to declare that the exchange itself is a security because of the contract between users and the exchange. So Kraken wants the status quo of what things are, and that's similar to the United States. Basically, there are cryptos that are securities, there's cryptos that are not securities, like Bitcoin, pretty much. And then, so that's how it is in Canada at this moment, but they're trying to make it so, like, literally, the entire exchange will be subject to securities laws in order to prevent the Quadriga CX situation, because if it's subject to securities laws, then Kraken would have to literally work very closely with the government, submit constant information about what's going on there. And it might actually make it safer for investors, technically. But Kraken says all the Canadian exchanges are going to be forced to go overseas if this happens. And that's probably true. no matter how good it sounds for investors to have securities regulations for the crypto exchanges, it is very difficult for a crypto exchange to completely follow the securities regulations, and also customers are not that interested in being connected to an exchange, oftentimes at least. Sometimes, like, we have the institutional investors that want this, and then a lot of regular mainstream investors, and also the cypherpunks and people that like anonymity, they would not want to be on Kraken if it was connected to the Canadian Securities Administration. So, yeah, it might cause a lot of the user base to go away from Kraken, and also it would be very hard for Kraken to comply with all of this. So Kraken's saying, hey, we're going to go overseas if you do this. And maybe that's what they want anyways. Maybe they just want an exchange that's going to work with the securities regulators from the beginning instead of one that's going to be opposed to them. So this will be interesting to watch. In truth, though, Canada doesn't have that much of the total crypto volume in the world. Technically, I'm sure there's people in Canada that use lots of Bitcoin, but as far as cryptocurrency exchanges based in Canada, they're not that big compared to like ones in the United States or in Asia. So this isn't like major global news, but Kraken is a big exchange, and it's good to know about that they are going through a process right now trying to fight the Canadian Securities Administration to prevent pretty much them having to flee the country. Moving on to the next story. Bitfinex says trading for the LEO token is going to go live today. So it's going to be tradable for Bitcoin, US dollars, Tether, EOS, and Ethereum. So that LEO token was created via their initial exchange offering, which just happened. Basically, Bitfinex has been in a major battle with the New York Attorney General's office in the New York Supreme Court. And it's over $850 million that was seized from their account at Crypto Capital. So there was a time where Bitfinex didn't really have a bank account because they lost their bank in Puerto Rico. They were looking for a bank that would work with them. And they eventually found one in the Bahamas, Deltek Bank in the Bahamas. But in between that, they were using Crypto Capital to process payments. It was very slow, though. And then basically, Crypto Capital got seized for money laundering. So, like, Portugal, Poland, and the United States descended at once on Crypto Capital and Panama. So, Crypto Capital was based in Panama, and then we had these three countries descend on them and take the money and seize it. So, $850 million that was owned by Bitfinex, pretty much owned by Bitfinex customers, actually, was seized by the United States, Portugal, and Poland. And then Bitfinex went ahead and took the money out of Tether's reserves, like, a lot of that money. Over $500 million they took out of the reserves for Tether. So Tether is a stablecoin, and it's the most popular stablecoin in the world. And it's supposed to be backed one-to-one by cash in a bank. And so they had a lot of cash sitting in the bank, like $2.8 billion, and they took $500 million out in order to help with the losses from Crypto Capital so they could keep funding Bitfinex withdrawals, pretty much, so the customers wouldn't freak out and do a run on the exchange, and then Bitfinex would have collapsed. Like, literally $850 million being seized might be enough to destroy Bitfinex, but they went ahead and took the money out of Tether's reserves, and that's kind of illegal and against what they promised. I don't think it's okay for, after $2.8 billion is invested in a stablecoin, and it says it's backed one-to-one by cash in the bank, it's not okay to change the rules in the middle and take $500 million out. So that's why the New York Attorney General's office is coming after them. And then Bitfinex and Tether opened up a $900 million line of credit. They charged it up to over $700 million at least. And then the New York Attorney General's office got that line of credit frozen. But right after they got the line of credit frozen, Bitfinex did this initial exchange offering. They raised $1 billion. So after opening up a $900 million credit card, having that locked up by the government pretty much, they raised another $1 billion. So Bitfinex is looking pretty solvent right now, actually. They have lots of money because they just got $1 billion from this LEO token. So now all the big whales that bought the LEO token, and it's literally like private investors bought up this token. So there was enough private investors, like whale people, like a whale's like someone who owns a lot of crypto. So yeah, these are whales that bought up the entirety of the LEO token supply. Now they're going to get their chance to make money on it. There might be a pump on it on Bitfinex. If people believe in Bitfinex, and there's always a pump when there's any sort of ICO, even if it's like a really crappy ICO, there's always a pump at the beginning. So yeah, this is their chance to pump and dump that LEO token right now. I guess it could go the way of Binance technically. So Binance has Binance Coin, and that's doing very well. It's a major cryptocurrency now. I don't see that LEO tokens would become a major crypto like Binance Coin. But actually, since it raised $1 billion in its IEO, it might appear there near the top of CoinMarketCap, at least at the beginning. And depending on how things go, maybe it'll grow, maybe it'll sink. I'm not going to speculate exactly what will happen, but there's probably going to be a pump and dump right at the beginning, like today. So it's important to know about the LDO token is launching on Bitfinex. You might see it appear on CoinMarketCap suddenly. That's all I have for you today on this May 20th, 2019 edition of Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They made over 314% profit since July. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you could see their trades in real time. And just by reading their trade analysis, you could become an expert cryptocurrency trader. It gets even better. You could ask the Crypto.IQ traders questions in real time, and they'll answer your questions pretty quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.